Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And don't go away just yet.
Me?
No, the listener. Because I know the title of this podcast has Higgs in it, Higgs boson. You know, it's LHC, it's all that stuff. It's subatomic particles, it's subatomic physics. But please don't run off just yet, because here's my take on all of this, just real quick. I kind of look at subatomic particles and particle physics as being kind of like a chocolate-covered urinal cake. I was talking about this yesterday.
Yeah.
So chocolate-covered urinal cake, it's great so long as you do not bite in too far. As long as you know exactly how deep to go into the subject, then everything's chocolatey and nice. Go too deep and things get confusing and awful really, really fast. That's just my personal take. I'm not meaning to dump on physics or particle physics. It's very important, and we're going to stress the importance of Higgs and everything in this episode, but we're very much approaching this from the standpoint of we're going to break it down and tell you what you need to know about it. And we're not going to go so deep that we're going to hit urinal cake.
Yeah, and if you're really disturbed by the urinal cake, just think of it as the most decadent chocolate-covered dessert, not a urinal cake,
yeah,
that you could only take a couple of bites of. You'd be very satisfied by.
Yeah.
Anything else, you'd have a tummy ache.
Yeah, because this is one of those topics that's really important. That's why it's in the news all the time. But I feel like we have a tendency to not read articles that are actually about Higgs, or to we just sort of register, oh, there's something happening with the Higgs, and you can go on like that for months and months and never actually stop to attempt to understand what it is. And certainly scientists face that disconnect too, of trying to explain something that's really, really complicated, and it's right at the bleeding edge of our understanding.
And so, not only that, it's really interesting, exciting stuff, because it says something about the way that our whole world is stuck together and how we actually exist. So
exactly,
we're going to try to get to the bottom of that today without too much urine in the urine cake, too much chocolate in the chocolate cake,
right,
so to speak.
So why is it in the news? Well, it's because in the past couple of weeks, and we should mention that we're recording this, what's the date?
July 17th?
Yeah, we're recording this July 17th, thereabouts.
18th. Matt says 18th.
I don't know what day it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, thereabouts, that's the time bubble that we're trapped in when we're recording this. It's entirely likely there'll be a new development before this goes live. We may or may not have time to edit things if that's the case. So just bear with us.
If you're hearing this 6 months from now and there's all this sort of crazy news out there that has given us new light to the understanding of Higgs, please do not become incensed with us.
Yeah, but this is all the data in here is going to be good bedrock regardless. So the whole news is that, you know, we've been searching for the Higgs boson for a while. We've been slamming stuff together in a particle accelerator, which we'll get into in a minute. We've been conducting this massive experiment to try and glimpse this particle that only exists for a fraction of a second. We think it theoretically should exist, and we want to find it. And so they have spotted something they think may be it, but we're not sure yet.
Yeah, and it's important to say that right now physicists are simply calling it Higgs-like, not the Higgs boson particle. So, and the reason they're doing that is because they have a bunch of data. They've got a mountain of data, but they want to be really careful about it because it could be just turn out to be not the Higgs particle, but a different particle.
Yeah, or some sort of more exotic version of it. It's a lot is riding on finding it, though, because as we'll discuss, the whole standard model of physics points towards its existence.
Right. And everything else lines up in the standard model. Okay, mm-hmm. So everything that we can make sense in it. We have plugged everything in. We can see where things are working, and we just need this last bit of the puzzle. And Higgs is it. It's the glue that makes everything happen. Let's talk about CERN real quick.
Yes.
This is a multinational research center headquartered in Geneva, and it houses the super collider that we've been talking about called the Large Hadron Collider. There are two teams of about 3,000 physicists each, one named Atlas, and that's led by Fabiola Gianotti, and the other, CMS, is led by Dr. Incandela, and they operate giant detectors in the collider, sorting the debris from the primordial fireballs left after proton collisions.
Now, I'll give you a quick run-through on the proton collisions.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to get this situation where we have all this stuff we can analyze and try it and spot things like the Higgs, what we have at the LHC is this massive track, all right, this massive ring of superconducting magnets, 17 miles of these things,
right,
a giant underground loop.
It spans France and in Switzerland, I believe.
Yeah. And I like to think of it in terms of, if you remember the Adams family, Gomez Adams had the trains that he would set up.
Mm-hmm.
But he would set them up so that he would eventually have two trains have a head-on collision and crash, a big fiery explosive crash there on his model train
mm-hmm.
Set.
And this is how they came up with the idea of the LHC, right?
Well, maybe not. It's fun to think of it that way. That's the way I imagine it, because he would get real giddy and he would just be watching them
yeah.
super close as those things collided. And that's what we're doing, except instead of using trains, we are sending two beams of particles close to the speed of light through that ring, each traveling in a different direction, all inside of a vacuum, and then the collision happens, all right? Things get smashed apart. And in that moment, that just moment of chaos, we can glimpse these just ephemeral particles that only exist, in the that minute sliver of time following such a catastrophe.
And we know the mass of the different particles, right? So, for instance, a proton is about a billion electric volts
mm-hmm.
When it's smashed, and then it begins to decay. And so there's a specific signature that each of these particles has, and it's believed that that our friend Higgs, that particle, has a very specific range. I believe it's between like 120, 150, something around there. And so what they began to see is these what they call data bumps mm-hmm. in this decay factor, these signatures. And last winter they reported these hints of this particle, this ghost of a particle in the machine. And they wanted to make sure it wasn't a statistical fluke. And it wasn't. And they've been working with Fermilabs, too, in Illinois, because they also have a collider, and trying to figure out, okay, is this little ghost we're seeing something, a hint of what could be the Higgs particle?
Of course, you know who else has a particle accelerator?
Who?
The Ghostbusters, if you'll remember. The proton packs were particle accelerators.
That's right.
So we're talking about very similar technology here, except instead of being used to harness a spirit
mm-hmm.
and force it into a trap, we're instead just aiming them at each other. In a way, we're kind of crossing the streams. We're just colliding the streams, right?
Well, plasma involved in both, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was an attempt at a Higgs joke. But there are a
nice.
Lot of attempts at Higgs jokes going on right now. It's a rich area of comedy.
Well, and this is the reason, I think, because everybody knows that it's exciting news. It could change our view of physics. And yet it's such a weighty topic that I think that it's gotten some fuel here from comedy, because, you know, it's very hard to understand, and yet people are trying to put it in terms that make sense of it.
And make people a little less afraid of it, too, because it can be intimidating. It's like, ooh, particle physics, but you throw in a joke about it, then it's a little more relatable.
Well, you know,
it's a fat joke. There are a lot of fat jokes about it, I noticed.
Mass jokes.
Yeah.
Holly Fry from Pop Stuff actually was talking to me yesterday about the whole brouhaha about Comic Sans, the font that was used by CERN in their PowerPoint slide when they were discussing their discovery of this Higgs-like particle, and people are just outraged.
Now, Comic Sans, is that the one that looks like a lemonade stand?
Yeah, it actually is a font. It's a font that is intended for children, was designed for that purpose.
Yeah.
It's very easy to read, but people are like, really? Like, this huge revelation is going to be now released into the world with that font. And people are going nuts over it. I think it's really funny, though.
They were torn between that one and the blood drippy font. You know, it was one of the two.
Yeah. Or maybe like the 1920s, like Broadway font.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
But anyway, I think that, you know, maybe it was intentional. Maybe they felt like if they took this really simplistic font and then gave all this really heavy information that people would be more psychologically primed to be like, okay, I can get this. Who knows? But there's a bunch of big Higgs jokes going around, too. Here's one. The Higgs Boson walks into a Catholic church. Priest says, "What are you doing here?" Higgs Boson says, "You can't have Mass without me."
Oh.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, we'll explain that later.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. All right. We should probably set aside Higgs jokes unless you have any more.
No, I mean, that's a good example of one right there. I mean, because a lot of them, like I say, come down to weight. They come down to mass because the Higgs is very tied up in this idea of mass and why does anything have mass. So we need to talk a little bit about standard model.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about standard model is that it's about explaining the complexity of our universe. It's about trying to really get down to what makes up the universe, what are the rules concerning its structure. So it's really important. You know, we're talking about the structure of the universe, the origins of the universe at its very heart. But it's also kind of like the old, it reminds me of the, you know, the analogy of the elephant, the blind man grasping at the elephant. And in the past, we've, you know, various areas of science have been touching one part of the elephant and saying, oh, it's a tree, oh, it's a snake, oh, it's a sail or something, you know, mm-hmm. It's a giant pancake, it's a wall. But what we really want is a more complete vision of what the universe is and how it works. And, mm-hmm. and so standard model is an attempt to do that.
Yeah, and for historical context, you should point out that in the early days of the 20th century, particle physics was really in its infancy. And we're talking about, you know, just knowing about two particles, protons and electrons.
Right.
That was the extent of our knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, we discovered atoms, then protons, neutrons, electrons, quarks, and leptons eventually. So mm-hmm. We keep diving deeper. Enter the standard model, which describes the universe as being made of 12 different matter particles and 4 forces, okay? Those 12 particles include 6 quarks, 6 leptons, but don't worry about that right now. And then it also involves these 4 forces, gravity, electromagnetic force, mm-hmm. strong force, and weak force.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and those I think are a lot easier to grasp, those different forces. They work over different ranges and they have different strengths. Gravity is the weakest, mm-hmm. but it has an infinite range. The electromagnetic force also has an infinite range, but it's many times stronger than gravity. The weak and strong forces are effective only over a very short range and dominate only at the level of subatomic particles. So that's really where Higgs-Boson becomes important here. And despite its name, the weak force is much stronger than gravity, but it is actually the weakest of the other three. The strong force is, as the name says, the strongest of the forces.
Yeah, the theory proposes that electricity, magnetism, light, and some types of radioactivity are all manifestations of that single electroweak force, okay? Mm-hmm. So it unites the electromagnetic and weak forces, two of the 4 fundamental forces of nature, along with strong force and gravity. But this theory only holds water if the particles in question had no mass, zero mass, mm-hmm. in the period immediately following the Big Bang. So this theory creates this situation where there has to be this time when they had no mass. So there has to be something that is giving them mass.
Mm-hmm.
We have to find a perpetrator. A suspect, somebody we can pin mass itself on. So it's kind of like somebody's been stealing the donuts. We don't know who, but we know that person exists. We know that that donut thief exists somewhere. We just have to spot them. And in this case, the donut thief is the Higgs boson. This is the particle that theoretically
mm-hmm.
is, well, not stealing donuts, but is involved in the process of giving things mass.
Okay, yeah, and 3 of the fundamental forces result from the exchange of force carrier particles, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this belongs to the broader group called bosons, right? This is where Higgs boson comes in. So that is this exchange. That's what's giving it mass. This is what works in the equation.
Mm-hmm. So all of these forces, these four forces that we're talking about, theoretically then align to a particular particle.
That's right. So, you've got each fundamental force having its own corresponding boson particle. The strong force is carried by the gluon. The electromagnetic force is carried by the photon. Little packets of light, as we know them. Mm-hmm. And the W and Z bosons are responsible for the weak force.
Yeah, it's particle physicists don't like for you to call Higgs boson the God particle, but you can kind of think of these little particles as gods of their corresponding force, you know?
Yeah, in the WZ, it gets complicated fast. Like, even just throwing this at you guys, you're probably like, okay, WZ, the gluon, da-da-da. But if you think about them all corresponding with those different forces, it's mm-hmm. a lot easier to understand. And then, of course, you're probably sitting there saying, what about gravity? We haven't found this particle yet to correspond with gravity, but we expect something called the graviton to be a force-carrying particle of gravity.
Right.
And gravity is the problem of the Standard Model. Now, according to CERN, it's not as big a problem as we think it is, though. They seem to downplay it a bit. They say that fitting gravity comfortably into the framework has proved to be a difficult challenge. The quantum theory used to describe the micro world and the general theory of relativity used to describe the macro world are like two children who refuse to play nicely together. Again, there's going to be so many different examples when we come to talking about this, which is helpful, right? Okay, so now we're thinking about two kids not playing with each other. They say no one has managed to make the two mathematically compatible in the context of the Standard Model, but luckily for particle physics, when it comes to the minuscule scale of particles, the effect of gravity is so weak as to be negligible. So only when we have matter in bulk, such as in ourselves or in planets, does the effect of gravity dominate. So the Standard Model still works well despite its reluctant exclusion of one of the fundamental forces.
So again, two blind men, an elephant,
yes.
varying ideas about what it is.
Right.
And the varying theories don't necessarily mesh well with one another.
Right. So they're saying, okay, we know that we have a missing part here, but this is still sort of limping along in terms of bearing out what we think is happening, and we expect to find this other corresponding particle.
Mm-hmm.
So that out of the way, and knowing that the Higgs boson is really important here, that W and Z that we were talking about,
mm-hmm.
Let's talk more specifically about this particle that is involved in making the Standard Model work as best it can.
This particle emits what is called a Higgs field,
mm-hmm.
all right? And this field imbues all the particles that pass through it with mass. This powerful thing called mass, this almost, it's difficult to imagine the universe without mass.
Mm-hmm.
You have to think, when I'm talking about this field is the size of the cosmos. It is that big of a field. It's not like, oh, there's this field here, this one little doorway, this magic door, and every particle that goes through it became a massed object.
So something like a photon, the packet of light, right, is
right.
going to go through this field because it doesn't have any mass, and it's going to go through really quickly,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you'd have something like the W and Z bosons, these elementary particles that mediate the weak interaction, that force that we were talking about, would get bogged down with mass. Assuming that the Higgs boson really is existing in here and this is what we found and this is what's happening, everything that has mass gets it by interacting with this field, as you say.
Yeah. There's a good the analogy that I ran across that I really liked comes from John Gunion, a physicist at the University of California at Davis. And he said that, in short, the Higgs field is a cosmos-sized swimming pool, and everything is swimming in it. Particles that interact strongly with the Higgs field, like a heavy-set man swimming with his clothes on, are heavier than particles that breeze through the pool like an Olympic swimmer in a wetsuit.
I like that analogy very much. And I want to point out, too, that there's a lot of confusion between the Higgs particle and the field. They are two different things, obviously,
mm-hmm.
but the Higgs particle is inseparable from its field, and it is this exchange of particles with a background field that is giving it the mass. And I know I keep repeating it, but it's good to understand that the muck that it's going through, these exchanges,
mm-hmm.
is what is giving this stuff some weight. There is another analogy that I liked quite a bit.
Just a beaver?
Yes, just because it's super silly. Martin Archer, a physicist at Imperial College of London, explains it as, think about Justin Bieber in a crowd of teenage girls. If he tries to move through them, they slow him down, and his speed decreases the more they're attracted to him. So he's having a lot of exchanges in this field, okay, as opposed to so-and-so through this crowd of teenage girls who just passes through very quickly.
Okay.
And it doesn't have any mass or isn't accumulating any mass because this person's not having any exchanges with the wildly gesticulating teenage girls.
Okay. So, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I'm having to hold back from trying to throw in my own analogy because we're already weighted down with analogies here. So.
Yeah. We are interacting a lot with these analogies and gaining mass by the second here. But I also want to point out one more, though, because I think it's a good way to enter into this conversation about the Large Hadron Collider. Mm-hmm. Turns out that Brian Cox, who is a particle physicist and
not the older, awesome actor, but the younger
rock star scientist. Yeah, that's what they call him. He's funny. He's great. And you can see why he's doing so many talks on TED, because he's a great science communicator. But he was talking about CERN and trying to get funding for this, and that they talked to Margaret Thatcher about it. And she said, you know, if you can tell us what the beep this thing is, then and you make it explainable to politicians, then I will give you the funding for it. But you've got to come up with some sort of analogy that works. Well, what sort of analogy do you think they use? They used the room analogy again, and they said this really popular politician, that people really wanted to interact coming through the room, getting slowed down. So I thought it was interesting that that's where that analogy was first used, and that's what helped to get the funding for CERN.
Yes. All right. Well, hey, we're going to take a quick break and let all of that gain some mass in your head. And then when we come back, we will bite once more into the chocolate-covered urinal cake.
Or just delicious decadent slice of cake.
Whichever image you prefer.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
All right, we're back. So, Higgs.
Higgs, okay, I think we have a better understanding. You know, it's the forces of nature require that mechanism to make sense, that standard model, mm-hmm. and Higgs to be a part of it. And as a byproduct, you and I exist, we think, because, and this is according to Brian Cox, because many of the particles that make us up get at least part of their mass through Higgs. So on a personal level, that's why it should matter to us. But let's talk about the Large Hadron Collider, because we wouldn't even be talking about this today if it weren't for this giant machine that we talked about, this 17-mile circumference, this beast lurking below.
Yeah, well, we've gotten to it a little bit already, but I'd like to add just a little more detail. I mentioned that racetrack, and you just mentioned it as well. Mm-hmm. You have 7,000 superconducting magnets that are in there to steer the protons around. Okay, so it's not just a matter of, oh, this is the core, you know, because like you think back to like little race cars on little courses.
Yeah.
You have like that one little module that accelerates it, and then it just goes around. Well, the accelerators are all around this ring.
Right, and as you pointed out, they're traveling at 99.9975% the speed of light, right? And the LHC actually boosts the proton's energy by nearly 16 times and collides them 30 million times a second for up to 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is quite a bashing. So when we think about what it means to have these collisions, that's the sort of environment that they are creating in order to try to recreate this idea of the Big Bang, or the billionths of seconds, what happened after the Big Bang.
Right.
This is why it's so specific and why they bash them together this way.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, it's kind of like anything that happens on any given episode of MythBusters. They're like, oh, what happens if two trucks sandwich a vehicle? Can it actually, you know, completely crush it? So what do? They get a couple of trucks and a car, and they smash everything together. I mean, recreating this catastrophic event for the purposes of studying how it works. And that's essentially what's going on here, except in a more complicated and smaller form.
I like this idea of them being MythBusters, because this is a playful group, by the way. You may have seen the rap that they put out about the Large Hadron Collider. I love it. What are you going to...
No, I mean, it's good. It's just, there's just something... You can't help but cringe a little bit when scientists...
it's so adorably geeky.
It's adorably geeky, but it's, you know, Beastie Boys, it's not.
So. Oh, no, but that's the charm of it, right?
Well, yeah, it's the charm.
You gotta love that they're like, let's do this rap about the Large Hadron Collider. And actually, they kind of speak like that in the rap.
No, it's good. It's good. I'm not bashing it. It's funny.
No, it's good stuff. But I think it's important for people to know. Like, they have a sense of humor. They're playing with this.
They're not just stuffy scientists who are, I don't care if the public understands what we're doing. You know, it's not that kind of a deal.
Yeah, yeah. They're very excited when it comes through.
I interviewed one of the guys on the Atlas program a couple of years ago.
Did he rap?
No, he did not rap. But he was a very, very nice, very down-to-earth guy who was willing to talk with me on the phone and sort of break down you know, what they were looking for and how the project worked. So,
well, and like they are obviously so excited about it, and that comes across, and it's wonderful to see. But I wanted to talk a little bit more about the LHC and this idea of them smashing the particles together, and how they actually discovered the signature of the Higgs boson. The theory was that in this cosmic molasses, normally, which would be invisible, this Higgs field, it would produce its own quantum particle if it was hit hard enough with the right amount of energy, which mm-hmm. is why they have that amount of energy that they've got running through there. The particle would be fragile and would fall apart within a millionth of a second in a dozen possible ways, depending on its own mass. And then they find the signatures by being able to recognize the particles that are produced in these collisions with their decay patterns. Mm-hmm. So these are the signatures that are left behind. And each quark has many different ways of decaying, so there are several possible signatures, and each one has to be carefully examined to determine which particles were present at the time of collision. So we're talking about any time that there's a collision, just terabytes of data that is produced and then fed through computers and then combed through until they could find these really specific bumps that we talked about. This, I think it was like 130 electrical volts that they kept seeing over and over again, or within that range. And this is that ghost of a pattern that I talked about.
Yeah, the ghost in the machine. It's, it's pretty fascinating. We've talked before about kind of the disappointment of, like, older visions of the future, and they would involve, say, really advanced space stations that never actually came to fruition,
mm-hmm.
Or at least haven't come to fruition yet. But the LHC is one of those things where it's an incredible piece of just cutting-edge technology that is really pushing the boundaries of what we understand, and it's not necessarily the kind of thing that would have appeared in most science fictions. You know, it's just as exciting when you really, really think about what it's seeking to accomplish.
Just the pictures alone of the LHC are phenomenal.
Yeah.
You see how mammoth this machine is, and it really does look like something from the future. It does look like this manifestation of what we thought, 2012 might look like in the 60s, right? In the 1960s. But I think more importantly, too, if you step back and you look at this development, and it does seem like, okay, it's murky, you know, is it the particle, is it not, you know, what are the implications? If you step back and you look at everything that we've accomplished so far, it does appear that we are on the cusp of a different understanding of our universe.
Yeah, I've seen it compared to Christopher Columbus, 1492, you know, his voyage to the New World, and he set sail for the East Indies, and he landed in what he thought was Asia, and it turned out to actually be the Bahamas. So we're not really sure exactly what's going to happen. You know, perhaps we're going to find the Higgs. In other words, we're going to land on the Asian continent that we set out for.
Right.
But it's entirely possible that we land in the Bahamas instead. But either way, our understanding of not the world we live in, and not the layout of the oceans and the continents, but the actual fabric of the universe itself, our understanding of that is going to change. And that's exciting.
Yeah, our map of the cosmos is shifting, I think. Brian Cox, again, the rock star mm-hmm. physicist, paraphrased Carl Sagan, and he said, you know, look at Saturn V rockets and Sputnik and DNA and literature and science. These are the things that hydrogen atoms do when given 13.7 billion years. So he's saying, like, let's back up seconds after the Big Bang and see what a hydrogen atom can do after 13 billion years.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say, that the sort of understanding that we gain. So I thought that was a very nice way to put it. That's why this is important to us.
Cool.
Well, do we want to take a little listen to what?
Oh yeah,
to
of course.
Higgs?
We have some sonified data here, which we were talking about earlier. Sonified data is always a little. It's great, but it's also a little gimmicky because you're taking data and you're turning it into sound,
mm-hmm.
and you're not necessarily gaining an immense amount of insight into the original data by hearing it as sound, but it's still real. It's really cool.
It is really cool because the data, I guess you could say this, you could extrapolate this, the data is creating sort of notes.
Mm-hmm.
It's got math and musicality to it. So when you turn it into music, you do have, I don't know. It's not, this is not what Higgs sounds like when it sings.
Right. But it's kind of like, what would Higgs sound like if it were a score to a 1980s science fiction film?
See, there you go. Or in the hands of Brian Eno.
Exactly. Yeah, it does sound a lot like some of Eno's more ambient work. So yeah, let's listen to the sound of Higgs. I like it. I could listen to that.
Yeah, that's nice.
I listen to things that sound a lot like that. So again, sonified data. It's not necessarily really giving us a lot of insight, but at the very least, it's cool, and it can serve as kind of a nice spoonful of sugar, you know, on the medicine to get people interested in science. Somehow.
Well, and it's a manifestation of Higgs in one way, right?
The
data just went into your ear, so. All right, let's see what's going on with the mail.
Yes, call the robot over here and let's see what he has for us. All right, here's one from William. William writes in and says, "Hi, Robert and Julie. In regards to the episode, Is Math a Human Invention or a Human Discovery?" That was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "Well, here is what I think. Neither. Let me explain. Math is used in a lot of animals, including birds, which use Bernoulli's principle, which states that fast-moving air is lighter than slow-moving air." Love the podcast, William. So it was kind of brief, but it is. He brings up an interesting, I don't know, kind of a semiotic point, right? That is it a human invention? Is it a human discovery? You kind of have to remove the human from the argument to really get maybe a clearer grasp of how the universe works.
Well, and serendipitously, we're discussing mass again, too, right?
Yeah.
Moving through air.
All right, here's one. We heard from a listener by the name of Tom. Out of Brooklyn, New York, and he wrote in and says the following. "Hi, Robert and Julie. Thanks for the killer episode about underwater recording and music. As a listener and fan, this episode inspired me to write in. I wanted to share a funny experience with you guys related to this very topic. I'm a recording engineer by profession and co-own and operate Brooklyn, New York's Spaceman Sounds. Can you tell we're sci-fi folks like you guys? Last year, when Hurricane Irene was descending upon us, we were informed that our studio was in an evacuation zone A, meaning in case of a hurricane or similar event, our premises would likely be flooded and we were made to evacuate. Given our sizable studio full of recording equipment and instruments, this was a daunting endeavor. My band, called Tidal Arms, more space references, had a rehearsal in the studio the night prior to our evacuation and insisted on battering down the hatches ahead of time. Our conversation dissolved into dark jokes about going down with the ship and recording new tunes as the studio got flooded, facing certain electrocution. Then this spurred the question, wait, can we record underwater? Again, foregoing responsibility, we filled up the slop sink in the corner of the room with water. We dropped one of our less precious microphones into a plastic bag, sealed it up, plopped it in. I'll be damned if it wasn't the most awesome low-frequency reverb sound I've ever heard. Mixed with a normal hi-fi condenser microphone in the room, it gave a monstrous, massive kick drum sound. Anyway, we did end up evacuating the next day, and there wasn't a drop of water in the space. Despite all the work for naught, we were relieved there was no water damage. In fact, we learned a totally rad recording trick. Thanks, Irene. I just wanted to share this with you guys, as your episode reminded me of it immediately. Thanks for the amazing undersea mystery sounds and the usual array of killer space age conversation. Keep up the great work. And this is cool. After Tom sent this in, I was, you know, I'm like, well, you got to send me a file of that, you know, because he got me kind of excited about this. So he did send in a file. And what we're going to listen to now, as he said, he had two microphones,
mm-hmm.
one in the slop sink and one that's just out in the open air. And so both of these microphones were recording the sounds of the that they were playing. So what we're going to listen to here is just a brief clip that is composed of sound from both of those microphones. So yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
You can definitely hear, like you said, that watery, murky, sort of bloopy reverb thing going on in the background.
Well, and so. I just love too that this hurricane was about to hit, and they're like, "Hey,
yeah.
Speaking of, what would happen if we drop this microphone in here?"
I like it. It's something you tend not to see in most post-apocalyptic or disaster films or whatever. You know, where it's like, "Oh my goodness, the world is ending. Let's cut an album. Let's."
But I'm so in the flow that let's just go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. Thanks for sending that in, Tom. All right, and if you guys have anything you would like to share, be it sounds that you've recorded, sonified data, or just your general thoughts on particle physics, Higgs.
Higgs jokes.
Higgs jokes. Let us have those. We may or may not read them, depending on how funny they are, right? Or how weighty they are. You can let us know. You can share all this stuff with us on Facebook, where we are Stuff to Blow Your Mind. And you can also find us on Twitter. Our handle there is Blow the Mind.
And you can always drop us a note at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.